Welcome everyone back to Knowledge on the Rift. We are back with our continuing series here of going through Riot subclasses. And once again, we have our guest, Dana, the Snapple Lemon Pop, back for more. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, thank you.
Once again, I'm Adam, the AMO. I'm the host of Knowledge on the Rift here. You can find the show's Twitter at KnowTheRift. And you can hit our guest up at Snapple Lemon Pop for our full information. If you want to hit us up about anything you hear on this episode or any others, go ahead and hit us there. So real quick, the last one, we just talked about tanks. This one, we're transitioning into the fighters. So what would you say is a fighter?
A fighter. Well, you know, again, I think they have the description nailed down pretty here on the Riot website. You know, the durable, damage-focused melee champions. Really, the thing that I think separates them most from tanks is they're more damage-focused, more off-tank, as what a lot of people would refer to them as in other video games.
Yeah, so whereas the tanks, you can get away with not building a single offensive item in the game. None of these champions can you do that. You have to build a minimum of one, more likely two or three offensive-based items in the game. Now, they can be split offensive, defensive item, hybrid items. But you have to go at least one offensive item to get the maximum potential out of these champions. That's sort of how I feel about them.
That's true. That's 100% true.
So they split the fighters into two categories, and I like these categories. Now, this is the first category here is a category they created right before last Season 5 Worlds, the Juggernauts. Just me saying the word Juggernauts, what does this make you think of?
Of course, the Juggernaut. First thing that comes to mind, honestly, is a Nautilus. You know, just straight in your face damage tank, you know. Probably not the most mobile, but definitely going to hurt you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, technically when I say Juggernaut, the first thing of we all think of the lovely videos where the Juggernaut from X-Men shouts, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch." Okay, second thing we think of Juggernauts in League of Legends is the champions that they messed around with right before, like I said, the season world. So Riot has broken down Juggernauts into this is the key here. They are melee titans that march at their opponent to deal damage. Once they get in this class, they deal significant amount of damage, and they are really tanky. But with this damage and tankiness, they have to have a real weak spot, and their key to the weak spot is their ability to move. Or their movement, so they're either really slow, or they don't have gap closers. They're all melee. There's no ranged, real far ranged attacks or super or ranged abilities. That's what makes a Juggernaut. Versus the second type of fighter, which are the divers. So, divers, what are they?
Divers are definitely the ones that are going to go head first into the fight. Kind of like when we were talking about the Vanguards, divers are the ones who are more damage focused, of course, but they're the ones who are going to be looking for the picks in the fight, looking to pick off the ADC, looking to disrupt the engagement in any way they can. They're not going to be as tanky as your Juggernaut class is, but they definitely have the kill potential there.
Yep, so you're going to see a lot of connection between not only this class is in the divers and our class of Juggernauts, but you're going to see some similarities to the tanks that we've kind of talked about already. So, real quick, let's run down the Juggernauts that Riot has. They've listed Gnossus, Darius, Mordekaiser, Alawi, Trundle, Olaf, Garen, Shyvana, Udyr, Dr. Mundo, Volibear, and Yorick. Whereas I've put my Juggernauts as Gnossus, Darius, Garen, Mordekaiser, Alawi, Volibear, Udyr, Trundle, Cho'Gath, Skarner, and Gnossus. I've listed Gnossus twice. He's in there. So
you're 100% sure he's a Juggernaut.
Yes, I'm 100% sure he's a Juggernaut. So one of the things that I feel is important about Juggernauts is their ability to not have gap closers. While they may have some things that make them run fast, or go faster. They don't the inability to have a gap closer. But Alawi's in this class. So what's that, kind of wrap my head around this. What's going on here?
You know, honestly, a lot of them, like you said, they don't have a real gap closer. You know, a lot of them have slows or something, you know, that's a short range or a weaker initiation tool. You know, Olaf's axe or, let's see, Gnosis's W. Alawi's got a little bit of a hop that she can hop to people too. But the one trend we see there is they're all short range. And, of course, you know, they can deal massive amounts of damage when they're up in your face. Mordekaiser, you know, Mordekaiser's listed on both these lists, and I'm really shocked that they have him in here, you know, as opposed to as a battle mage, but it makes sense. You know, he doesn't have a gap closer, so to speak, but he is a pretty tanky, in-your-face, high-damage output fighter, in a sense. So, you know, whether I would classify him as a battle mage or a juggernaut, you know, you so far we got two votes for juggernaut.
Yeah, so they're... Mordekaiser specifically, they made him a juggernaut when they did their rework during, like I said, right before Season 5 Worlds. Mm-hmm. Second, he has ranged abilities a little bit, but he's a melee attacker. If you just quick think of all of the mages, I don't think there's at least in my list, there's not a single melee mage. They are all ranged. So I think that's where Mordekaiser, he still has to like stand next to you and use like his, you know, Q to like deal damage and do like he said, he has to be right next to you, which is the thing of juggernauts is they have to get right up next to you to deal tons. Oh my gosh, I just about went freak all over you. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Oh jeez.
You know,
go ahead.
Just looking at this, though, I don't see Fizz listed anywhere on here. That's the first one that comes to mind when we're thinking of, you know, trying to stay focused here on juggernauts. But if we're saying that Mordekaiser is a juggernaut because he's in your face, you know, where does Fizz fit in then?
He's an assassin.
You call him an assassin?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you know what? I do see him there under assassins.
Yeah, so, all right. No, yeah, that's where I put him. Now, you can build Fizz to be a diver or a tank, you know, champion. And I think that's kind of tanking. That's, I think, kind of a good, decent way to get into the divers here. So, as you kind of just said, like, which diver specific, like, so you said divers, you know, go in. So their divers are Vi, Xin Zhao, Nocturne, Pantheon, Jarvan, Wukong, Work, Renekton, Elise, Hecarim, Lee Sin, Irelia, Aatrox, Evelyn, and Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Aatrox, Vi, Xin Zhao, Jax, Irelia, Pantheon, Lee Sin, Rek'Sai, Wukong, Diana, Elise, Rek'Sai, Jarvan, Nocturne. I have Gnar here, and then Work, Shyvana, and Olaf. So,
now, were you referring to Mega Gnar in this case?
No, I have just Gnar entirely as a diver. Once again, Riot split their Gnar into a Vanguard and mm-hmm. a Marksman, but I put him, as since he is only one champion, even though he has two forms, into the divers.
Hmm. Yeah, I honestly wouldn't see him as a diver. I mean, unless he's in Mega Gnar form, because you do not want to be diving as you know, little Gnar.
And part of the reason is when you touch back on the divers, the key is their high priorities of to either single out or immediately focus the targets when they go in. So they don't have to be as durable, but the key is they take enough punishment while like being like their goal isn't necessarily to live. Their goal is to either just destroy a champion or destroy a target or destroy a backline. Their goal is to get past the front line.
That's true. Yeah. And thinking of divers in the literal sense of the term, you know, Gnar does fit that in either form. But yeah, taking a look at the other ones you have listed here, Aurelia, Pantheon, you know, I can definitely see all those. And a lot of the ones on Riot's list make a lot of sense too. Every single one of them they have here has some really hard initiation options. You know, Lee Sin with his Q. Hecarim, honestly, I might almost put him in the Juggernaut class, because while his kit is created for that really fast, deep initiation on enemy team, a lot of times the way he should be played is more, more like a warden from the tank class. With him, you want to be able to ult on top of your ADC. You want to be able to E people off of your ADC. Think of a diver coming on your ADC. Hecarim's kit's perfect for countering that. And honestly, while when most people think of Hecarim, they're thinking of him as a deep initiation, I don't think that that's the way his kit is really played best, and I don't think that's just a temporary meta thing. I've been playing Hecarim for almost 3 years now. I'll tell you, like, that's just something I had to learn on him. He's not played in that style when he's played well.
Well, I this is where the key is. Like, so someone like Hecarim can be played top, mid, jungle. We've seen him in all those roles, even on the highest competitive scene. And this is the best part, right? So you can play him so many different ways. You can play him as, like, just straight when you had home guards, and the first thing you did was, you know, rush back, get your home guard upgraded boots, hit level 6, and did a teleport flank gank, right?
Right.
That's a diver, right?
That does fit the... But when it comes to the rest of the game, you know, that yeah. works for ganking purposes. But when it comes to the other half of the game, you know, the team fights and the 3 or 4 man skirmishes, you know, he does spend the other half of the game playing more of a warden role.
Yeah, so I mean, you can say he plays a warden role. I would say he's still a diver, right? Because the thing that makes him a diver is his ult. Now, you can use it defensively, or you can use it offensively, and that can make him switch between the positions. He's not, and this is where the thing is, he's more of a fighter than he is more of a tank. Like, if you said Hecarim, more people, then you gave me the option of tank or fighter, mm-hmm. I'd put him in fighter.
I just think compared to the other fighters and the other the other juggernauts and the other divers, I don't feel that his damage output's quite up to par. You know, I don't see him pumping out damage quite like J4. He doesn't have the burst potential of Vi, I don't think. I've played a lot of both of them. Granted, a lot of times I do build him more tanky, but, you know, I've also done the Triforce builds and the Frozen Mallet and... got all sorts of stuff over the years, but in either case, you know, he does get his main power spike by building tank and by using his W to sustain through team fights. And if he can't sustain through the team fights, he's as good as dead, you know? So if you build him like a diver and you play him like a diver, I don't feel that his full potential's lived up to quite as much as if you played him like a warden.
Well, let's compare him then to someone, let's say, like Rek'Sai.
Okay.
So Rek'Sai, Riot has listed as a Vanguard, as an offensive tank, where I have Rek'Sai as a diver. He's literally, you know, on burrow, pop up out of the, you know, he's not going up and over, he's going under mm-hmm. everyone. That whole, like, but he's still diving down into the back line. Now, I understand, like, he's more tankier than Hecarim,
mm-hmm.
but he deals yeah. less damage than Hecarim.
Do you think so, though? I really feel that Rek'Sai's damage would surpass what Hecarim's does in most cases.
Well, I mean, he can. Like, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm just saying, like, because Rek'Sai, you've seen specifically out of the jungle, like, I'm going to say 90% of the time, and you've seen him a little bit of play top lane, you don't see a mid lane Rek'Sai.
No, you definitely don't. That's true.
So, and you don't see a, you know, and because of that, there's not a, like, full, you can build glass cannon Hecarim.
You can, yeah.
You can't really build glass cannon Rek'Sai.
I would argue that. I would, because Rek'Sai definitely does have the burst potential, just like Hecarim does. You know, if you combine Hecarim's ult, say he ults into an enemy team and then eases his target back towards his team, you know, the initial burst of damage he can do with the Sheen procs, you know, whether it's from Iceborne Gauntlet or from Triforce, in either case, it is a large amount of damage, but I think it's definitely on par or slightly lower than Rek'Sai's burst potential.
It's I just feel that, you know, Rek'Sai still needs an offensive item. You can go straight tank and professional play with Rek'Sai. But if you're playing solo queue or you're playing dynamic queue or whatever they want to call ranked play now,
right?
You have to get offensive item. You know, going full tank is just not a truly viable option.
On Hecarim, you mean?
On Hecarim or Rek'Sai, which is what leads pushes me more in the form of the divers in the fighter class.
I see. Well, yeah, I can definitely see your point of view on that. I don't know. We may just have to agree to disagree.
That's perfectly fine. One of the things that I personally disagree with is putting Shyvana as a juggernaut, putting Olaf as a juggernaut. Now, there's a particular reason why I put Shyvana as a diver, because she turns into a dragon and dives onto the enemy backline.
You would think it would be that simple.
I think it's that simple. She has a large knockback gap closer that turns her into a dragon.
That's true. But think about it this way. If Shyvana's grouped up the rest of her team and she dives, what ends up happening to the enemy team? They get pushed away from your team. So even though she can dive and she does do the motion of, you know, heading in, so can Corki. But you don't want to do that as her, and you definitely don't want to dive the enemy team as Corki.
Well, hey, that package, man, that mini rumble ult.
That's true, yeah. If you got package, we might have to change our my opinion, at least on that one. But short of having the package, just having the Valkyrie, you know, I honestly don't think Shyvana should be used that way. I think she should be used the same way as Hecarim. She should be peeling for the ADC, you know, ulting back into the team.
Okay, I can see where we can get from that. The other one... Olaf in the sim comparison, I feel that the Olaf has a slight advantage of using the ult that negates CC. That kind of puts him as a diver, because he's not very functioning very well as a protect anything.
Right, and he's definitely not too slow to initiate on an enemy team. You know, with his endless axes that he can throw, you know, throwing them, picking them up. And the movement speed buff he gets from his ult and his immunity to hard CC or any form of CC. Yeah, I might actually be able to say he's a diver. You know, his kit's more built like a juggernaut. You know, if I think of in terms of damage output tank, I would say he fits the juggernaut role, but he definitely can dive. Not going to disagree with that.
Okay, so the last, you know, specific champion before we just kind of talk, you know, talk a little bit about place I was here is... Cho'Gath. I listed him as like the only true AP other than Mordekaiser juggernaut. How do you feel about him?
He would fit the fighter class. You know, he doesn't have super long range on his abilities, but when you get up close and in his face, he's definitely going to melt you. You know, where did they have Cho'Gath listed here as it is?
I'm double checking. They put him in unique play styles.
Unique. Huh. And I wonder why they did that.
Probably because Cho'Gath is one of the older kits. It's one of the oldest kits in the game. Or older kits in the game. So he has a range knockup, a range silence. He has an auto attack that can be extended slightly past. But then he has an ult which allows him to eat and deal just absolute true damage to, you know, you can... Baron, dragons, champions.
It's true. Yeah, and honestly, I can see why they would put him in a unique playstyle category, because when we look at all the other subclasses they've created here, I couldn't choose which one to put him in. You know, he can fit so many of these roles and fill so many niches, and has over the last 6 years, that it's really hard to say that he's one playstyle or another.
No, I mean, you could put him as a offensive tank or defensive tank, you know, the vanguards and the wardens. He's not a diver. You can use him as a fighter, kind of in the top lane or in the jungle.
I would say you could call him a battle mage too, you know?
He could be a battle mage because in team fights... you want to put him as a burst mage because he can, you know, knock up silence, eat Annie before she can drop Tibbers? Fine.
Hey, you know what? If you can outburst Annie, I'd say you're making progress as a burst mage.
I mean, you're doing pretty well there. The last one you could probably put him in is a disruptor, right? Because he does have an area of effect knockup, an area of effect silence. Those are two large, you know, things that kind of control there.
It's true, and especially compared to the other disruptors, you know, hey, he fits right in there. So I can really see why he's unique.
Yeah, I mean, my point is you got to put him somewhere. I'm not taking Riot's cheap way out here and being like, oh, he's a unique champion. Well, all of the champions are unique. I mean, Garen's the only non-unique champion. Look at every single soldier in every single video game, and it looks like Garen.
Right. Yeah, and you know, if you were not taking the cheap way out and you had to put him somewhere, I'd say Juggernaut's a safe place for him.
Okay. So, how do we play with these styles here? So, when we talked about tanks, it was pretty simple. It was, hey, take damage, be a nuisance to the other team. Fighters takes a little bit more finesse.
It does. It definitely does. And divers especially. I, you know, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and start with those because that's the fighter style I'm most familiar with.
No, go right ahead.
Yeah, you got to be really careful with the divers because in most cases, they're built either off tank or full damage. In which case, like when I build Vi, I'm either building Warrior Enchantment first, you know, followed by either Black Cleaver or Dead Man's Plate, or even just a Giant's Belt into Black Cleaver. But in either case, you know, it's nearly 25 to 30 minutes in the game when and if I even start getting any tank. So with that in mind, with all these champions, Jarvan, Pantheon, they really either have to get in and delete a carry, or they have to play defensively, almost like the same style you would with a Warden. You know, depending on how the matches are going, or depending on how the match is going, it really dictates how I end up building, whether I go more off tank or more damage. And if we're behind, I try to focus on peeling for the ADC, much the same as you would a Warden. You know, if a Warwick comes in and ults my ADC, I'll ult Warwick to get him off of her. You know, queuing people, you know, creating general battlefield disruption so that you can actually allow your team to carry. But on the other side of the coin, you know, a lot of times as divers, you're looking for that pick. You're looking to find the enemy ADC or the enemy mid laner. And those squishies like Xerath into a Xin Zhao, Xin Zhao is going to blow him up in 3 auto attacks. You know, he's going to get the knockups, he's going to get the slow, and he's just going to delete somebody in the back line. So as a diver, you really got to be careful about your positioning and when you choose to go in, because I've noticed as I've climbed through the, you know, various ranks, as I get higher, people are a lot better about saving their CC in team fights for when you as the diver come into the back line. People have already started recognizing that. You know, you don't blow QSS to stop Thresh's Flay if a Warwick is on the enemy team. You just don't blow anything. You save it for when the enemy team dives you, and you pick off the divers. So you have to wait until their CC is down and use it as sort of a mid to late team fight dive to pick off the enemy carry, or use it defensively, wait for their carry to get out of position or something like that, and then pick them off.
Yeah, and that's one of the keys is the divers are going in buddies with the vanguards. If you have a vanguard and a diver, they are buddies.
Right.
People talk about the dive buddies, right? So if you have someone like a Renekton who can be... I put Renekton as a diver because he has the dashes and that type of stuff, and that's kind of that early bully playstyle. One of his favorite things is to, if you have a diver and let's say like Renekton, and you have a Gragas jungle or you have a Leona support, they're going in together, right? They're full go. One of them's more tanky. One of them deals more damage. Or maybe you have two divers on your team. Maybe you have an Irelia top lane and a Pantheon jungle. And level 6, you all converge on mid lane. Guess what? You're going under tower. The two of you plus whoever your mid laner is, you're diving in, right? But
right,
they go
right.
Less than pairs. Because if you do it solo, you're not a tank.
Yeah, you're not a tank, and you're gonna evaporate right there. And you know, even that's dangerous. And that's something else I want to touch on as far as positioning and timing goes when you dive as this class. Because if you and your Vanguard, your tank, go in, you got to remember that you still have your APC, you know, your ability power carry, your attack damage carry, and one, you know, mystery champion with you, who are out there by themselves at that point with nobody to peel for them. So a lot of times what you'll see happen is, as let's say any one of these champions, Wukong, you dive in, you clone, you know, you use your E to dash to somebody, start your ult, knock up the enemy carry, and then you notice that you're all by yourself back there with the enemy carry, and you realize that all four of the enemy team walked past you and started beating the crap out of your three people that were alone. So you have to be really careful about your positioning and when you choose to use those abilities, because the biggest mistake I see people do with divers is dive too early before their team can follow up.
Yep, it's the sort of the thing. And as we kind of talk about the divers here, they're focusing on that. Let's switch it slightly back to the Juggernauts here. It takes them a while to get going, right? To get a move
it
on.
Does.
But once they get there, They love it when the fight comes to them. They're kind of like the anti-divers. They're like, if I'm a Darius, then I'm like, Lee Sin, go ahead, cue to me. I will, you know, wrap you up, spin around with my axe, chop your head off.
Yeah, that's the truth. I think you said it 100% correctly there when you said they're the anti-diver. And that's really the role they fill, too. When the enemy diver comes into your team, Gnossus, Darius, Mordekaiser, Alawi, you know, this whole list of champions, that's what they're there for. They're there to delete that carry, or that that diver who's going on their carries.
Yeah, and that's kind of how notice with some of the, there's a lot of give and take between the styles here, right? Almost like a yin and yang across all of the categories, and just kind of how we feel. So I just like how this the way the play styles and the way you match up. So if you notice that the other enemy team has like a couple of divers, and you're like, we already have a tank, and we have like a mage and an AD carry, and we have a support, and you're like, I kind of need to fill this like fighter bruiser, was like maybe an old term type. You can base your, you know, hey, do we need an engage? If you need an engage, pick a diver. If you are like, we have good engage, but we don't have any good like fighty peel, or we don't have any good like, you know, just good team fight brawl it out, pick a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And you know, when it comes to overall team compositions, I've noticed that, you know, you have your main comps, your pick comps, your poke comps, your siege comps, and each one of those focus on different groups of these subclasses. You know, it's not something they've really talked a whole lot about in professional play, mostly because they're still developing this list here. But I have a feeling we're going to be hearing more about that and how those team compositions are put together, because really that's one of the keys. When you look at the enemy team, like you were just saying, you want to say, okay, they have two divers. What are we going to use to counter that? And using these subclasses, it's a lot easier to determine which champions are going to fill those roles that you need.
Yeah, and so using these tools, I mean, we talked about in tanks, about like, hey, if you're good at one type of champion or one of these roles, and you're looking to branch out, you can go ahead and play, you know, X, Y, or Z champion. You can do that the same with the juggernauts, right? If you're like, I'm really good at Darius, I want to play another juggernaut, or play Gnossus or Garen. Mm-hmm. You're like, if I'm a Irelia, I'm really good at diving in and fighting, pick up Jax. You know, because they kind of fill the same role, the same style. You'll pick it up easier. You'll go along the flow. If you're looking to find a counter to someone in these roles, kind of look at the opposite. That type of thing. So, any more you want to touch about the fighters?
No, I think we got it all covered there.
I think this was my favorite class. Technically you can put like a whole bunch of, you can, if you want to play Shen as a fighter, go right ahead. If you want to play, you know, for whatever reason, a super like juggernaut, slow, just walk around, deal tons of damage. Teemo, go ahead. I mean,
right.
Tank Teemo's a thing, which I guess would put him as a juggernaut, right? Because he's not a Vanguard, he's not a fence, he's not diving in anywhere. He's got no CC.
Yeah, but he's also ranged compared to a lot of the, well, any of the other people. I don't think any of these guys are ranged, really.
That's true. I didn't put any ranged. The closest thing to a range is, like, ult on Volibear or the E on Cho'Gath.
Right.
Okay, so I think that we're just pretty much wraps it up as the fighters. So, once again, you can follow the show, Knowledge on the Rift, at Know the Rift. Is the Twitter, and follow us there, and the information for everything else is down below. Dana, where can they find your stuff at?
You can find me at twitch.tv/cconeus, that's CCONEUS, and of course, YouTube, Snap a Lemon Pop, or same thing on Twitter, Snap a Lemon Pop.
Okay, super. Thanks, guys. Check out Tanks if you haven't yet. Up next, we're going to be putting the Slayers together, so don't forget to check out that one, too.